As we've been making our way through the Westminster Larger Catechism and Shorter Catechism, we've come to the topic of prayer. So I think it would be appropriate for us to pray before we study to see what God teaches us about prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for one day of seven that you've asked for us. You are an easy slave master. You don't demand seven of seven. You don't demand all of us. You ask for a part that we give back to you. And that is a duty that we take with joy to focus on you one day of seven. And you teach us how to do this, and you teach us on prayer. Be with us today. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. May we have hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So to review, just some big topics as we've studied the scripture and studied the catechisms, as it's subordinate to scripture in all matters, but yet it's still important. It's a good guide. It stood the test of time for us. And if you will, it's a bit like a cliff notes if you're older, or a spark notes if you're younger. It gives you the breadth of the book without all the necessary details. That said, we always have to compare the catechisms to scripture, but they're helpful for our instruction. So I want to start with the big meta-narrative. What do we know that God doesn't teach us? That's right. Nothing. Nothing. Silence is the appropriate answer. There's nothing that we know that God doesn't teach us. So when we were born, think of a little baby, think of Jaden. She's utterly helpless, utterly helpless. When God gave Adam life, he was helpless. God had to instruct Adam, and Adam either believed God's instructions, or what did he do? He represented us well. What did he do? He chose not to eat of the tree of life. He chose to eat and follow Eve in eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every day we have the same choice before us. There's a difference between grace, God's grace that he bestows upon us, for there's nothing we can do of ourselves. We're saved by grace through faith, right? Nothing we can do to save ourselves, nothing we can do to give ourselves life. And he saves us and gives us that grace, but he uses means of grace. We studied this a few weeks back. What are some means of grace? What are some things that God uses to bestow his grace on us? This is just a review. Reading, yes, Quinn.
His word.
Reading his word. Reading his word.
I said reading and hearing his word.
Yeah, good. Double witness. That's always good. And what is his word? Children, remember all the common answers, right? Jesus, God, the Bible. Which one is it? Reading his word is what? The Bible, that's right, yep. All right, what other means of grace does he use? We can go quick. Coming to church on Sunday, even coming to Sunday school, it's not a requirement. We're required to worship God, but Sunday school is not. But is there an advantage of coming to Sunday school? Extra teaching, extra learning, that's right. What about the sacraments every Lord's Day? Are those means of grace? This morning we're going to be baptizing the Grinberg baby, right? You've been baptized. When we eat at the Lord's table, the Eucharist, Thanksgiving, what are we being thankful for? Right? We're thankful for his grace. These are all reminders. These are all reminders to us. Our daily disciplines, one of which is prayer, right? Did God leave us alone to decide how we should pray? No, he instructed us how we should pray. Is it right then for you as fathers and moms to instruct your children how to pray? Yeah. All right. Well then, good. That's a good introduction. Now we're going to look to see what the Westminster Larger Catechism 186 to 191 and the Shorter Catechism, 198 to maybe 100, has to say concerning these things. I just have to find the catechism in my trusty computer. All right, what do we know about prayer? You've been praying your whole life, haven't you? How do you decide to pray? If you were at the men's breakfast yesterday, you heard one little truncated thing you can think about when you pray. That is joy. You've probably heard of acts, right? These are little truncated things. You've probably heard of something called, we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's an okay term. We all know what it is, right? But that was not necessarily the Lord's Prayer. It was the Lord teaching us how, as an example for us, how to pray, right? So what do those truncated things mean? When you're teaching your child or when you are coming to God in prayer, what's at the foremost of your mind? What should be at the foremost of your mind? Well, what's often at the foremost of my mind is give me what I want, when I want it, how I want it. God, I want you to be my vending machine. I mean, that's sad, but that's true, right? If we're honest with ourselves, right? So what should be the front of our minds when we pray? God's will.
We are speaking to Almighty God.
We are speaking to Almighty God. Anything else? You guys agree with those? If you disagreed with it, you'd say, oh, no, right. I mean, I'm assuming you agree with that. All right, well, good. All right, well, let's read what some of the, what the larger catechism asks for a question. It's funny because Kanan's parents are flew in from Spokane yesterday because they're going to help out with Lauren's cancer treatments. They were on the plane with a guy named Michael Foster. And Michael's told me before that if his kids memorize the whole larger catechism, top to bottom, he's going to give them a car. And that seems, yeah, we all go, wow. But I bet nobody's done it, right? And what will our Heavenly Father bestow upon us if we memorize that? More blessings than a car, right? But the car is a motivation. I mean, I said wow, too. I saw wows in there. And I doubt, and he didn't say it was a brand new car or used car or anything like that, but I mean, it's a big motivation factor, but it's not easy. It's not easy. Most of us would have to think through, okay, now where does this talk about it in the catechism? We can find it. But anyway, that's meaningless. 186, what rule has God given for our direction in the duty of prayer? What rule, right? You know, a rule is a measurement, 12 inches, right? And if it's a little bit less, a little bit more, it's not 12 inches. It's a standard. The whole Word of God, right? Which is summarized in what are the, often, you know, everybody asks the question, God, Jesus, the Bible, right? The Bible, the whole Word of God is used to direct us in the duty of prayer. Duty, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? Who wants to do their duties? We want to do what we want. We want to do our desires, not our duties, right? Yeah, I mean, you can shake your head. Yeah, we're all a bunch of sinners, right? Right? So what's the difference between duty and desire? Well, I'll make it a layup question. A layup is a basketball, you know, expression like an easy bucket. What for a faithful, joyful Christian, what is the difference between desire and duty? If you're walking in the Spirit,
there is none.
It's one and the same. So whenever your desires is separated from your duty, there always has to have a repentance moment, right? An acknowledgement and a repentance. But it is our duty to pray. It's our duty to pray. And sometimes we like our duties and sometimes we don't like our duties. I've mentioned this before as an example, but children, when you wake up in the morning, you want to clean your room. It's your delight. And then when your mom says, hey, have you cleaned your room today? All of a sudden, you don't want to clean your room anymore, right? Because it became a duty rather than a desire. But it's our duty to pray. So if it's your duty to pray and you know that and you want to be a faithful Christian, how often do you pray? What does God require you to pray? Well, how does he talk about prayer throughout Scripture? You don't need to quote the Bible in verse or chapter and verse, but what are some of the instructions of prayer that you know?
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without ceasing. Yeah, pray in good times, pray in bad times, right? Pray all the time. But the special rule of direction is the form of prayer which Jesus, our Savior, taught his disciples, which is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. And so we use that as an example. And how is that to be used? The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern according to which we are to make our other prayers, but also may be used as a prayer. And do we pray that every Lord's Day? Yeah, we usually sing it. When do we sing it? Right after the congregational prayer. So it may be used with other prayers, and it is done with an understanding of faith, reverence, and all other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. Are all prayers effectual? Effectual. Fancy word, does it have an effect? Are all prayers effectual? You know, we all have hardships, and our family is going through some hardships, and I'll have these people that'll say, oh, I'm praying for your daughter. And cynical Arnie says, ah, you don't bother, because the prayers of a righteous man avail much, and you're not a righteous man. But I don't say that. I think that, but I don't say that. And I don't know their heart, but I know their fruits, right? And they're just, it's just a word that they say to make you feel better. But then, you know, when I'm thinking about making fun of them, and I don't, which is a good thing, but I think, how many times do I flippantly say, oh, I'll pray for you? And I do, one time, right at that second, right? I prayed for them, but I don't pray for them, right? And if you were at the men's breakfast, once again, Pastor Ralph reminded us that we're not a bag of marbles, we are a bunch of grapes. We're connected to each other. So when we do say we're going to pray for somebody, I think most of us could deceive ourselves, well, I did pray. But when we pray for somebody, it involves a continuance. It involves continually praying for them. And oftentimes we just don't do that. But if we really recognize that we are connected with one another, or worse, if we ask them to pray for us, right, we'd be a little disappointed if they just prayed once. So we do need to think through that. And the more we pray for somebody, so when there's a courting relationship, a young man and a young woman, my advice is don't pray together. When you say, oh, why would you say that? I mean, that just doesn't seem right. You don't want to pray with somebody, right? There's an intimacy in prayer. There's a connection in prayer when you pray for somebody. So off subject a little bit, we'll get back to this. I'm going through these quickly, then we're going to go back a little bit more slowly, as generally is my pattern. Question 188, how many parts does the Lord's Prayer consist of? Probably never thought of that, unless you've studied the catechism and read the catechism, but when we sing the Lord's Prayer today, think through, what are the parts that we're praying? The catechism says, and again, the catechism isn't the Bible, but you got to think, huh, these were a bunch of smart men, never really thought of parts. What are the parts? There's a preface, there's petitions, and there's a conclusion. Think about the letters you write. Think about how you communicate. Think about how you pray. How do we start all prayers? This is an easy question. God, Jesus, the Bible, which one is it? How do we start our prayers?
Our Father.
Our Father. That's right, our Father. Yep. How do we conclude our prayers?
In Jesus' name.
And how do we speak those prayers? Yep. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So every prayer is a prayer to the triune God. It's not just a prayer to God the Father. It is, but you can't. What right do we have to go to God the Father? We'll see that in a little bit when hallowed be your name, right? on what basis do we even stand before God the Father, who created, who is all glory, who's all powerful? On what basis do we speak to God the Father? How can we come close to God the Father? Jesus, God, the Bible, which one? Jesus, right, because of what Jesus did for us. He's the mediator. Because of Jesus and Jesus alone can we draw near to God the Father. And we can do that with humbleness and boldness. Seems countered, but it's not. And then we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit is oftentimes left out in our prayers, but it's essential because we repeat God's words after him. He tells us how to speak. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what to say. The Holy Spirit is integral to prayer. Three parts. What does the preface of the Lord's Prayer teach us? This is where we're going to spend the bulk of our time looking at this. And then Pastor Ralph is going to be teaching Sunday school next Sunday, and he'll finish up what we don't cover today. So the preface of the Lord's Supper is contained in these words: Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, teaches us that when we pray, we draw near to God with confidence of his fatherly goodness and our interest therein. What's our interest in our Heavenly Father? What does that mean? Old language, but what does it mean to have an interest? We're his family, right? Children, look at your father. Does he have an interest in him? Do you have an interest in him? Does he have an interest in you? How does your Heavenly Father treat you? Does he teach you? Does he instruct you? Does he discipline you? Does he feed you? Does he protect you? Does he do that because he's a good reflection of the Heavenly Father, or he's teaching our Heavenly Father what to do? Which is first and which is second? Our Heavenly Father sets the standard. So we have an interest. And we do this with reverence and in all other childlike dispositions. Calvin says, God babbles to us. We're little helpless babies. We speak babble. When you're a little child, you go, blah, 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 blah. You know, they don't understand English. Eventually, you have to speak English to them, but we babble to them as God babbles to us. And you know, when you say you babble, you know, where do we get that word from?
Tower of Babel.
That's right. That's just free. And we do that with all due apprehensions of his sovereign power. What's an apprehension mean? Old words.
I think this is appreciation.
Appreciations, thank you. And all due appreciations, but an apprehension too is kind of coming with fear and trembling, but all appreciations. What? Apprehensions?
Yeah.
What do you have?
We have apprehensions. I must have a different version.
All right. Well, I think both words are fine here. You appreciate that God is God and we are not. Remember the first rule of every first rule of theology? What's the first rule of theology? God is God and I am not. That's the first rule of theology. So you have to have an appreciation for that, right? And we have to recognize that he has sovereign power. We have no power. He has majesty, creator, creature distinction. All these things, when we come to God in prayer, they have to be at the front of our minds. They have to be. And God graciously condescends himself to speak to us. He loves us, but he graciously does these things to us. So we need to understand that every time we come to in prayer, we can't be flippant about these matters. We have to understand every time. And we don't, right? I don't. You don't. We don't, but we need to think through these things. Question 190 then. So the preface is understand creator-creature distinction, understand who God is in his glory, understand we have no right to come to him except through the work that Jesus has done for us. And don't ever forget that distinction. We oftentimes pray to God like he's our buddy, right? He's our best friend. And you can kind of see a little bit of that, but that's not the way to approach God when you pray to him. All right. What do we pray in the first petition? What's a petition? Fancy word. Who knows what a petition is?
It's a request.
It's just simply a request, right? Yeah. In the first petition, which is hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed be thy name mean? Fancy old word. Hallowed. Yes, sir. Speak louder, please. Honored be your name. We acknowledge the utter inability and indisposition that is in ourselves and all men to honor God aright. How do we know how to honor God? How do we know how to honor God? Remember how we started the Sunday school class out? How do we know anything? Do we know anything without God's instructing us? How do we know how to honor God? He tells us through his word. That's exactly right. Jesus, God, the Bible. Which one is it? Through the Bible, we know how to honor him. We pray that God would, by his grace, enable and incline us and others to know, to acknowledge, and highly esteem him, his titles, his attributes, ordinances, word, works, and whatever he is pleased to make himself known by, and to glorify him in thought, word, and deed, that he would prevent and remove atheism, ignorance, idolatry, profaneness, and whatever dishonors him, and by his overruling providence, direct and dispose of all things to his glory. What's the first question in the catechism? This is one that everybody knows. What is the chief end of man? Okay, this is an aside from prayer, but we all recited that in that answer. What's the difference between duty and desire? Chief end of man is to, right, enjoy him forever. That's our desire, right? Don't you want to be joyful, right? When we understand God's glory, when we seek to give him glory, and that's our desire, it's our duty, and it becomes our desire. All right. The second petition, and then we're going to go through as we have time more slowly. What do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition is thy kingdom come. Accordingly, ourselves and all mankind to be by nature under the dominion of sin and Satan, we pray that the kingdom of sin and Satan may be destroyed. The gospel propagated throughout the world, the Jews called and the fullness of the Gentiles are brought in, the church flourished with all the gospel officers and ordinances in purging from corruption and maintained by the civil magistrate, that the ordinance of Christ may be purely dispensed and made effectual to the converting of those that are yet in their sin and the confirming, comforting, and building up of those that are already converted, that Christ would rule in our hearts here and hasten the time of his second coming and the reigning with him forever, and that he would be pleased so to exercise the kingdom of his power in all the world as may best conduce to these ends. So that's a lot of words to describe thy kingdom come. So in simple words, what does it mean to pray for thy kingdom come? Think what comes after that in the Lord's Prayer. What does it mean simply when we say we pray for thy kingdom to come and think about what comes next in the Lord's Prayer? Keep going. Right. So we want, just imagine, close your eyes about heaven. God's reigning, his truth, his goodness, his name. Oh, well, think about that for a second. What are the names of God in the Bible? How does he describe himself? What are the names of Jesus in the Bible? You think about all those names, and you think about how glorious heaven is with justice. Everything's going to be made right. No sin, right? That was those long words that the divines, they put in the catechism. And even that list that I just read, probably not so well, is that list comprehensive? No. You can't list everything. But we're praying that heaven comes down on earth. That's what we're praying for. And what is the good news, by the way? What's gospel? We've studied this before, too, in past Sunday school classes. When we say gospel to somebody, this is a review again, but what is gospel? What does gospel literally mean? Good news. Why is it good news to some and not good news to others? Sorry?
Some are reborn and
some
are not.
Some are reborn and some are not. Yeah. If you love your sin and you're set in your sins and you don't think there's anything wrong with it, you like being in your sin, why is good news? What's a cup of cold water to somebody? If they're thirsty, it means a lot. If you're not thirsty, it's nothing. It's good news for those that understand their heart and understand there's a difference between the creator-creature distinction, that they're God, God is God, and I am not, then it's good news because through Jesus, we can draw near to the Father, and then we can communicate with him, right? Through prayer. Yep, that's exactly right. So all the names of God in the Bible, all the glories, we pray for his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, right? We pray for, what are we adventing now? Right? What are we adventing? We went through the time of Advent a while back. What are we adventing now? The return of the King. The bodily resurrection of the saints. That is true. That's why we're not full preterists. That's why we're partial preterists. So that's right. We want bodily resurrection. Jesus is bodily raised already. We want our bodily resurrection, and we're praying that Jesus comes as the returning King. And in the Bible, the concept is already but not yet. What does that mean as it applies to what I just said? The already but not yet. Ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, he has been seated at the right hand of God, and he's been reigning on earth. That's the already, and what's the not yet? Yeah, consummation of the kingdom. He hasn't returned as the king. And what is our duty? To pray to that end. I just read those words. And when we pray, we can't disassociate. It's probably not clear in the catechisms, or I should probably read it again. But when you pray and you have the ability to help somebody, oh, I pray that your move goes well. Pastor Ralph, I pray that you and your family have a good transition coming over here. Is that what our church did? We prayed to that end, but what did we do? We put furniture in their house. We put food in their cupboards. We did something, right? And so when we're praying, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, what are we to do? Just pray? Or has God given us hands and feet, and are we his workmanship, created for good works? What's our duty to that end? Well, the easiest duty is to grow in faithful obedience, always remember what we've talked about, try to have your desire match up with God's word, right? Have a good marriage. Be good children, be faithful, have the joy of obedience, steady hard, change dirty diapers, wash dishes, go through your routines in life. We talked a little bit about this at the men's breakfast too. So now we're going to go through a little bit more. All right, Hansen children, you are up. Would somebody please read for me Psalm 62:8. Romans 8:27, John 16:23, Daniel 9:4, and Philippians 4:6. If you could stand up, and so that everybody could hear your voice. I know you all know how to speak loudly because I hear you speak loudly at times.
Psalm 62.
Eight.
Psalm
Isn't that the one I gave you? I gave you 62.2. I think it's 62.8. I could look it up. If you read them both, I can tell you which one talks about prayer. Sometimes my handwriting is not the best. That's right. So when we come to God in prayer, well done. When we come to God in prayer, we pour out our heart to Him, right? And He is our refuge. So do we ever, first of all, God knows what's in our heart, right? I mean, let's not be naive. We can't hide. He knows what's in our heart, and we pour out what's in our heart to us. Yeah, if we're joyful, we're joyful. If we're sad, we're sad. Whatever is in our heart, we're supposed to pour out to God. Right, and He knows what we are, so we're acknowledging who we are, how we are, when we are that way, and then we can trust God. We can take our refuge in Him. All right, go ahead and read one of the other ones. Well done. Do you have one more? Yes. Correct. We confess to God. So I'm just going through a few highlight verses of each of those. So the Bible, when you read the Bible or when you listen to the Bible, for example, Jennifer and I just finished the book of Job. If you're doing the Bible reading challenge, you just finished the book of Job. And you know the story of Job. You know, it's if you were Job, and to a certain extent, we're all a little bit of Job at times, never we're going to suffer quite the way he suffered or be tested quite the way he suffered, but yet we do suffer and we are tested. What did he pray? How did he pray? Did he ever curse God and die? No. Did he feel like it? Maybe. Maybe. Did he pray? It's not in the text, but did he pray, God, help me to be faithful through this difficult trial? We pray that way, don't we? Yeah, when we're going through difficult trials, difficult situations, help us to be faithful. Yep. And then the one thing that he did at the end, which is what I would have for sure prayed, God, I would have said, why? Why? Right? And so these stories are written down for us. For us. So when we're reading through the Bible and Daniel's praying, when King David's praying in the Psalms are wonderful, you know, when you're going through difficulties, we need to repeat God's words after him. And we're praying that God conform us to your image. Help me that my desires match up with your will. You're not my vending machine, right? Tell me how I should act, live, think, believe, do, consistent with your will. But we don't oftentimes come to God in prayer like that. We really do think of God as a vending machine. Now, we would make fun of prosperity gospel people all the time, right? I think you know what that means, guys. Yeah. But yet, practically, when we pray, I know I didn't study for this test, God, but boy, please give me an A. We pray for our grocery list. All right, let's go to the Sandal family. And can you read some of the verses that you have? Anybody prepared? Yes, stand up, one of you at a time. And speak loudly. Does God desire to give us the desires of our heart? Say yes. Somebody said say yes. Yes. Right? But does he desire to give us the desires of our hearts if they're antithetical or against his desires? Right? So finish the next thought. That means we have to pray that our desires are God's desires, and then of course he wants to give you those desires. Right? All right, next sandal. So that's a little trickier, well done again, is that we come to Jesus, or we come to God through Jesus, right? And we can only come to God if we've been adopted, right? If God's adopted us. And then we don't need to fear him anymore, right? We always have to understand that distinction. Next sandal. Judge not that you may be not judged, and the judgment of which you judge somebody else will be the judgment that by the measure that God will judge you. But we just have to be careful of that. I don't know if that was the right verse or not, but it's still a good verse, and it might have been. I might have mistyped something. Next sandal. Yeah, that's how we can come to pray. That's exactly right. Any other sandal? Go ahead, Joshua. Do you guys believe that? Did you hear what he said? Do you believe it? He really can do all more than we can even comprehend. Do you believe it? Yeah, I don't think so. Because when we pray, we don't pray with that in our back of our minds like we should. We doubt. I mean, be honest with yourselves. Do you doubt? Of course you doubt. I doubt. You know, we pray for God to heal Lauren's cancer. We hold God to his promises, right? She's been a faithful, obedient girl. She's always loved and honored her parents. She wants to have more godly offspring. We pray and we repeat God's words after him, just like the Old Testament, right? They for your glory do this, God, for your honor, for your name, right? We pray these things, but we would be liars if we didn't say somewhere we some doubt. And so how do we have to pray and handle that? God, remove that doubt from us. We've known the stories in the Bible that at the worst possible moments, you save. Help us to believe that. I mean, how many of the Israelites, facing with the Red Sea, with Egyptians coming upon them, actually believed that God was going to make a way of an escape for them? Maybe just Moses. We don't know. But we do have to believe that. So help our unbelief. Jedediah, you got the last one? Pray without ceasing has never really bothered me because I think I do pray without ceasing. I don't mean that to be that in the arrogant sense at all, but when you're driving, oh, God, thank you for this beautiful day. Ooh, help me to be safe. Pray. I mean, you're praying all these little prayers. It's not like you're sitting in a cubicle praying, you know, 24/7. It's just God's constantly in the back of your mind that he's in control and you're not in control. I think that's how I would encourage you to pray without ceasing. Just always be aware. Help me to understand the scripture today. Help me to understand what the pastor's saying. Just be thinking all the time that God is God, and everything you need to know is coming from him. So pray without ceasing as you go through everything in life, especially when you want to be conforming our bad, sinful attitudes. When my mom tells me something today I don't want to do, God, please prepare my heart to receive this. When I'm unprepared for the test, help me to be prepared better next time. And I know my grade is what it should be, right? But it's more important to have the knowledge than the grade, right? You need to be thinking about these things all the time, rightly, as you're going through. All right. So we did a prayer. We did Hallowed Be Thy Name. Or no, we did the first petition. Now we're going to do the second one. Well, let's have the Ralph children go next. Any verses that you guys have? Do you pray that Jesus comes, right, on earth as it is in heaven? Do you pray that the gospel will be prevalent as the waters cover the sea? We do need to pray to that end. All right, next. Yes, Noah? Do you really believe that? Doesn't seem that way when we live. When you look around, who's winning? Who's losing? Is the gospel on the rise or on the fall? Right? So what are we praying? Any other Ralph kids? Yep, Rebecca? Word of the Lord be praised and honored. Yep, that's exactly right. So it's time. I usually go over. Jennifer actually reminded me, do you think Sunday school ends at 9:40 or 9:45? I said, well, 9:45. No, it's supposed to end at 9:40. So we're 3 minutes over. This is to whet your appetite. If you go to a fancy restaurant, they give you like a palate cleanser, something to whet your appetite. As you read the Bible, hopefully after this morning, it'll begin to jump out at you what the Bible has to say about prayer and our relationship between God the Father and us. So let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us all knowledge. It's in your Bible. Thank you that you've told us to pray. It is our duty, and also make it be our delight. Conform our prayers so that our desires are more in line with your desires for us. Help us to believe all the promises that are given to us in Scripture. And we know that all promises are received and believed by faith, and it's you that gives us our faith. We pray this in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and amen.